good to be in the Lord's house this morning. Appreciate His presence, His kindness, and His mercy. It's good to be saved. On my way to heaven, I hope you prayed for me this morning. I'm a mite bit nervous. I don't know when the last time I preached, I wasn't nervous. Oh, this ain't easy as it looks. I promise you that. But you pray for us that the Lord would help us. We need His help this morning. No, you definitely don't need to hear from me. I promise you that. You need to hear from Him. So let's ask the Lord's blessings. Acts chapter number 16. Acts chapter number 16. I'm going to pray while you're flipping. Father, thank You for the good Holy Ghost. Thank You for Your good graces and Your mercy, Lord. I pray, God, that You'd help us this morning. Lord, we need to hear from You and You alone. I ask You, Jesus, Lord, to take this flesh, Lord, and hide it behind the cross. Lord, let people see You, not me. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. All righty. Acts chapter 16, verse number 25, the Bible says this, "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them." People are listening. "And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Do thyself no harm, for we're all here.' And then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' And they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house.' They spake unto him the word of the Lord, and all that were in his house, and he took them that same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all of his house." You can be seated this morning. Thank you for standing. I'm interested in a phrase there in chapter number 16, verse 27. And also in verse 34, there's a couple of things. Verse 27 there, the Bible says, "The keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, it says he drew out his sword and would have killed himself." In verse number 34, it goes on and says that he rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. And I want to take those two and get a title. My title is this: From Suicide to Satisfied. From Suicide to Satisfied. And you know, as we look across the United States today, I'm going to give you some stats in just a second. But there's about 187,000 suicide attempts a year in the United States. Isn't that something? It's 48,183 that go through. And there's 703,000 thereabouts in the whole entire world, suicides. And you know what? As the United States is only 4.25% of the world's population, yet we are over a one quarter of the suicides. We are probably the richest, and we have more things than anybody else in the whole world. And
I've had the privilege, Brother Ken and me, we've been to the Philippines and we've seen people that didn't have, I mean literally, didn't have their next meal. Didn't have shoes for their feet. You know, I would think, and our mentality is this, you know, that seems like the people that ought to be killing themselves. But no, it's here in the States where a quarter, 27% the 27% of the world suicides take place here. Why is that when we've got all these thrills and all of this activities and all of this good stuff that to keep us happy and keep us occupied, but yet we're the ones that wants to take our lives? From suicide to satisfied. You know what? You can go from suicide. I want to say this. America ain't got a money problem. America ain't got an activity problem. But America's got a sin problem. Bible says the wages of what? Sin is death. Amen. It's not the fact as we look at other countries and we see them without and they do without. You know, they're not killing themselves as much. But the problem is, the root of the problem is sin itself. You rest assured, you rest in sin, and it's going to bring death. It's going to kill some things in your life. Now, I want to look at this story here, this fella that went from suicide to satisfied. And I noticed, first of all, he found a preacher that was expounding some things. A preacher that was expounding. Verse number 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. That preacher that expounded. Now, I'm glad for some preachers. Thank God for some men of God in the United States. Yeah, man, you can go to church with me if you want to. But I'm going to tell you, I'm glad for some preachers in the United States that's willing to preach. Now, listen to me. There's a lot of people. There's a lot of people that's in the pulpits this morning across this great nation and across this great world. But there's very few that's got the anointing of a thrice holy God on them. Oh, listen to me. And it does matter who's delivering the message. It does matter if the Holy Ghost is involved. You see, in America, we've gotten to the place to where church ain't nothing but a social hall. It ain't nothing but a place to come where people see what the oven's got on and what this and done all week. It ain't nothing but another Facebook or an Instagram. But I'm telling you, church was intended for a man full of the Holy Ghost to get up and preach the gospel to a lost and dying world. It's a hospital for the redeemed to come and get some help in a time of need. Amen. Boy, we need some men of God in this day. I thank God for Brother Ken for staying the course and not giving up, but pressing on through hard times. We need to thank God for some preachers that's willing to preach. Amen. I noticed over in the book of Romans, let me just show you right quick how important it is to have a man of God. We all know Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 13. The Bible says this, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." But it don't end right there. Amen. We like to take a little bit and don't take the whole lot. The Bible says in verse 14, "How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed?" How in the world is that going to happen? And how shall they believe in Him in whom they have not heard? How shall they hear, what? Without a preacher. And how shall they preach except they be sent? Amen? So we need some God called, Holy Ghost filled, men of God. Amen? Not somebody up telling them the weather or telling them how good things can be in their life. But we need somebody that'll share the gospel to a lost and dying world because Jesus is coming soon. He's about to return. And if you're lost, hell will be your home. a preacher that expounded. Amen. He had the man and the message. But I noticed not only that, we see a power that was experienced. After this man of God went to singing and praying and a preaching in the praying. Amen. I preached a little bit in my praying before. But I notice here, these men was a singing and a praying, and it got God's attention. And it's a power that was experienced. Verse number 26, watch your Bible. Bible says this, and suddenly, amen, suddenly there was a great earthquake. So that the foundations of prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. I noticed that this was a sudden power. Amen. It was sudden. You want to see God move? Go to praising Him. You want to see God get busy? You go to praying to Him. Amen. If you lift up His Son, if you brag on the Lamb of God, God will move on our behalf. Amen. It was sudden. And this power was also shaking. His power was also shaking. The Bible says even the prison, the foundations of this prison were shaken. I'm glad my God, amen, is a cell shaker. Amen. There's a lot of folks in the United States today that's in prison and don't even realize they're in prison. Amen. I'm not talking about four walls. I'm not talking about Jackson, Georgia, Montgomery, Alabama. But what I'm talking about, they're in a prison in their own flesh, in their own homes, in their own lives. Oh, and listen to me. The only one that can get you out, I know from experience, is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But He can free you and He can let you go. I'm glad God can shake us. He's a cell shaker. He's a chain breaker, amen. And He's a way maker. Thank God for that. If you got a way, you got a way that needs to be made, you don't know how you're going to do it, I'm glad He knows how. Amen. Power that was experienced is a sudden power, shaking power. But it was a sleep disturbing power. Notice with me now. Verse 27, the keeper of the prison awaking out of his sleep. Listen to me, Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 1. And you who were dead in trespasses and sin, amen, hath He quickened. Ain't you glad that the Holy, you that saved in here, ain't you glad for the day that, listen to me, a man of God got up and preached the gospel story of one that died on Calvary's cross and was buried and rose again from the grave? Ain't you glad that there was a man of God that preached that to you and woke you up in your sinful condition and showed you that you were lost and on your way to hell and let you be saved? Listen to me. I hope that's the way you got saved. Ain't one way. It's a Holy Ghost way. I ain't crazy about all these newfangled words. I decided to follow Jesus. I made a decision. Listen to me. I'm going to tell you the Holy Ghost came to where I was. I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. Paul said He was a pattern of salvation. Listen to me. Those 1, 2, 3 come follow me, bubblegum popping, running down the aisles. Listen, I'm telling you, a lot of that's going to turn black on you when the end comes. Paul got knocked off his horse in Acts chapter 9. The Holy Ghost, let me tell you how salvation works. The Holy Ghost will come. Salvation's of the Lord. The Holy Ghost will come and shake, rattle, and roll you. I'm telling you like it is. The Holy Ghost will come to your pew. This morning you may be here and don't know the Lord Savior Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you what, the God of glory Himself, it ain't got nothing to do with me. It ain't got nothing to do with this preacher or this church. It's the God of glory. He'll come and get in your pew with you. And it don't matter what you've done or where you've been. But He'll show you your lost condition and let you know that hell will be your home. if you don't get saved. Amen. And I'm glad that He puts us under that conviction. Salvation's when the Lord comes to you and awakens you and shows you. You're dead. You know what dead is? You're dead in your sins. And unless the gospel's preached and shows you your lost condition, you'll be dead. And then God gives you an opportunity to come. Listen to me. Have you been saved that way? A power that was experienced. But I noticed a pull. Thirdly, a pull that was effective. A pull that was effective. Watch with me in verse number 29. The Bible says, then He called for a light. Watch what it done. He sprang in. And He came trembling. And He fell down. He didn't come in and say, hey fellas, how y'all doing? I need a little help. No. He didn't come down and say, I want to join the church. He didn't come down and say, hey, I want to be baptized. Join the church and join y'all's fellowship. Oh, no, we got to go with the Bible. It's funny. You better hope when this thing's winding down and it's all said and done that you've got a Bible salvation and not something that Momo sent you or Papa sent you, because it's not going to work when it's all said and done. Watch your Bible, verse 29. Then He called for a light, a pull that was effective. Notice, this pull, I believe, will humble you. This pull will humble you. You see what He done? He came in trembling. You know what? Listen to me. We're created beings. I'm just a person. I'm a weakling. I'm nobody. And somebody as big as God, Brother David, comes in to me. I'm telling you what I'm going to do. I'm going to get prostrate. I'm going to realize my weaknesses. I'm going to realize my inabilities. I'm going to realize that I am a nobody. I'm a zero with a rim rubbed out. I ain't got no business standing before God. And I'm going to be trembling. And if you've ever been before the God of glory, when you experienced Him, you was the same way. It's a humbling pull. But I'll tell you something else about this pull. Watch your Bible. It'll hurry you up. It'll hurry you up. Watch your Bible. And He sprang in. There wasn't no time to wait on mama. Yeah, man. I'll get saved whenever my wife does. I'll get saved whenever my husband does. Honey, there wasn't no time to wait on nobody else, worry about nobody else. Honey, I've got to have something done right now. Can anybody in here relate to that? Can you relate to the time Jesus come down your way? Honey, it was just like you and Him was in doing the church and business in the church. And God moved on your heart. Listen, have you ever been saved according to the Bible? It'll hurry you. It'll humble you. It'll humble you. He was trembling. He sprang in. It'll hurry you up. But I'd say it would. This pool's here to help you. Let me say this. This man done got in a pretty bad way. He done got in a way to where he's finna kill himself. He done drew his sword. He's finna fall on his own sword. That's about bad as it gets, ain't it? He come in and he done fell down on his face. He was trembling. And he was in a hurry. He didn't care about nothing else. He didn't care about his job. He didn't care about the Caesar. He didn't care about nothing. He had to have something done. He needed help. Now listen to me. I want to say this. You that's saved in here, let's just pause for a minute and reflect back to the day you got born again. Yes. Think back to the day, the moment that you got saved. And I just want a peradventure. Most of you probably were saved in a church. Now, what if? Just what if? I've been saved since 81. Thank Brother Ken got saved in 81. But what if the Lord had left you alone? Brother Randall, what if He just left you and got somebody else? Why couldn't He? He's God, ain't He? He don't know. He don't. Let me say, He don't know you diddly squat. You know, He could let you die and go to hell and He'd still be God. You know why we need to praise Him? Because He saved our filthy, wicked selves. I ought to be in hell. I know that. You ain't got to tell me. You ain't got to write me a letter and tell me that. You ain't got to text me. I know I ought to be in hell. I know that. But for some reason, now you put yourself in what I'm saying, for some reason, God allowed me. I was acting stupid. God allowed me to go to that church and sit in there. I wasn't looking for God. I was going because she asked me to go. I was going because He asked me to go. I was going because Mama wanted me to. But for some odd reason, I sit in that place and it wasn't just another service. Brother Ken, I remember it very vividly. I mean, vividly. I mean, I remember it. I don't remember every word I said, no. But I remember I don't know what it's. I remember when it happened.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I remember it when He moved in.
Yeah.
Somebody big as God moves in, you'll recognize Him. You won't have to go look behind the door nowhere. He's in there, you'll know it. Whew. That's real. Now what if God had just left you alone? What if He just left you there? He ought to have. Why? I see He ought to left me. He ought to left me there, saved my buddy over. I'm telling you the truth. There's 1,500 other people He ought to save besides me. I'm unworthy. But for some reason, He came to me. He came to me. Ain't you glad? Ain't you glad?
Yes.
If we can't get happy over that. I'm going to tell you something. I'm trying to get up. We've got 6 minutes. I ain't got but 7 more points. I'm just kidding. Listen to me. The Lord came and sit in your pew specifically. Now, this is not a mass thing. It's not something that God just comes in here and says, well, I'm going down to Liberty Church. I'm going to throw up a banner and say, y'all come. No, no, no. That's not the way it works.
Right.
Y'all come. Hey, y'all see this over yonder?
Right.
Y'all come. Get saved. No, 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 no. No. You see, He's an omnipresent God. You see, He may be dealing over here in this corner. At the same time, He's dealing in this corner. And in this section. And in this section. And He is there personally. In the seat with you. Talking about your life. And your sin. And your being. And your salvation. Ain't you glad that it's personal? From suicide to satisfied. Ain't you glad? Ain't you glad? You know what we ought to do? I know we dignified on Sunday morning, but it'd be a blessing. What we ought to do, since He came to where we was in our lost condition and saved our unworthy souls. We ought to open the front door and the side doors and run out of here and run to the red light and back, shouting hallelujah to the Lamb, because He saved a bunch of old sinners like us. Amen. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been saved? Really? A pull that was effective. You know what He wants to do? He wants to help you. You know why I come to you this morning? You know why you got that pull in your chest? Feels like a D8 dozer's tied to your heart? I know what I'm talking about. You feel like you're fixing to have a heart attack. You know what happened? He's wanting to help you. Listen to me. He, the God of glory, is trying to help you. Trying to help you. He's trying to help you. A pull that was effective. Verse 31. I see a promise that was enlightening. A promise that was enlightening. Notice what it says. He's done asking verse 30 there. He said, hey, boys, I got to be born again. I got to be saved. He said, ain't it amazing that, you know, ain't it amazing that didn't nobody have to tell him we call it saved? Ain't that something? But he said, what must I do to be saved? He didn't have to be baptized. He didn't have to be join the church, didn't have to do all this. But he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved in thy house. Believe on. Now, listen to me. Listen. Don't get these mixed up. It's very important. He didn't say believe in. He didn't say believe in. There's a big difference. Big, big difference. You see, Satan believes in him. The devils, a third of all the angels that was cast out of heaven believe in Jesus. Absolutely, 100%. He's written in your Bible. They believe. But you know what believe on him means? It means I'm going to take my life. This tug that I've got in my heart, this pull that I've got in my heart, the day I got saved, you know what I did? I didn't turn over a new leaf. I didn't say, if I can get up there in that baptism pool, get my sins washed. I didn't what it said. But the day I got saved, I felt the tug of the Holy Ghost in my heart. And you know what I done? I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to repeat or recite. But what I done was just took myself. And I went over and I rested in that tug. And I said, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go or how to do it. But I'm going to rest my case at the cross. And ever since then, I ain't done everything right by a long shot. But He has. He has. Amen. And He is going to keep me. He's going to keep me all the way until the day of redemption. He's going to keep me. Ain't you glad of that? Ain't you glad? Thank God. A promise that's enlightening. You know what? This is the answer he'd been looking for. And the anchor he'd been hoping for. You know what America's looking for? Looking for an answer. I'm about done. I promise you. Listen, you know what America is looking for? They're looking for an answer. Ain't no politician going to bring that. I mean, Trump, DeSantis, whoever you want to vote for, listen, more power to them. Just hope it ain't Biden. Amen. You know, scratch that, you know. But Lucifer, anybody but Biden. Sounds like, you know. But all joke. Listen, America hadn't got a political problem. And the sooner it dawns on us that it's not a political problem. It's not a gas at $3.50 a gallon problem. That's not the problem. Groceries at $200 a bag ain't the problem. The problem lies within. It's a sin problem. And they look for an answer. And for years and years we've looked for an answer, we've tried this and tried that. We've done this and done that. And we went every which way but loose. And we ain't got nowhere. What we need is to humble ourselves, seek His face, turn from our wicked ways. The Bible says He'll heal our land, forgive us our sins. Promise that was enlightening. Verse 34. Miss Sherry, if you'd come. Lastly, a peace that was enjoyed. A peace that was enjoyed. And when He had brought them into His house, isn't that something? Here's the jail keeper taking the prisoners in the house. He set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Peace that was enjoyed. Listen to me. There's people in here this morning that's lost. Multiple. Guarantee it. Don't know the Lord. But for some odd reason, He's sitting in your pew. He may not be sitting with them this morning. But He's with you. You know what? He wants to help you. You're looking for something. You're looking for help. You're looking for the answer. He is the answer. He's what we need. He's what you need. I wonder, Brother David, if you'd come, or Brother Tim, you'd lead us in a song. I wonder this morning, when we give this invitation, if God's dealing with your heart, if you'd step out of that pew and come publicly and ask the Lord to save your soul.